It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We welcome you in on this Monday afternoon, Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas and all across the VGK digital channels. Justin Russo, Darren Elliott here with you to talk some Golden Knights hockey. Darren, especially a fun episode today after what the Golden Knights were able to do on their most recent road trip. We were waiting to see how that third game went with Minnesota. Would it be an okay road trip? Would it be a pretty good road trip? It turned out to be a pretty good one indeed with the win over Minnesota.
It really did. Minnesota has been one of the surprise teams, maybe we'll call them, at the top of the league, top five, all season long. Yesterday, I think we got to see why. Defensively, really responsible, hard team to play against, and grinding it out in back-to-back situations with travel, Vegas Golden Knights proved their mettle once again.
And an interesting one for Minnesota. We know that they, kind of like the Oilers, rely on their top guys in scoring, and we saw that come to fruition yesterday with Kirill Kaprizov. A couple of goals, and I'm not sure you can really blame Ilya Samsonov on either of them. Just a great shot on the second one, a play at the back door on the first one. He got a lot of the offense, but the Golden Knights did a good job the rest of the way keeping everyone else at bay.
There isn't really, yeah, Matt Boldy wasn't that noticeable. Rossi on that line with Kaprizov, someone we saw in the AHL move up.
Yep.
Brett Faber as well wasn't that noticeable in terms of driving offense from the blue line. They've been good players for them, very good players, and not just young players who have stepped in and taken up minutes. They've been productive. But yesterday it was Kirill the Thrill. What a great nickname. Kirill the Thrill, you know you're good when that's your nickname.
Oh, yeah.
And you live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he proved why. But other than that, they didn't have much. They had a couple players. There's the shot from Kaprizov, if you're watching on any of our streaming outlets. But he is dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because he's one of those players as well. You know that he's out there. And is it possible that he can get lost? He just seems to find the open ice, and then, of course, the puck finds him, and then it's in the back of the net. And he did it twice, and that was it. I mean, I love the way the Golden Knights play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Call it mature. Mallard calls it patient.
Yeah.
I prefer the word mature, not just in their defensive details and how they play, but how they approach segments of their season. Top teams they get ready for. Pacific Division. Use hockey sleeping into it.
Yeah.
But Pacific Division games, the record's always good, but they know that that's a point of emphasis. Points of emphasis for the season. Power play. Very productive.
Yep.
Defense joining the rush, very productive. And maybe they're productive because you have those elements available, but it has come to fruition certainly. That's one of the things that proves that their locker room is in sync with the coaching staff.
You mentioned that maturity, and I think it is important to mention too that we saw that first goal from Kaprizov, and that's 90 seconds into the game. After you already lost 6-3 to Edmonton the day before. So some of those doubts can probably creep into your mind. You give up that first goal, but this team just knows what they're made of, and they're able to come back again, another come-from-behind win.
And then you look at the individuals, right? So the goaltender hasn't played in 11 games. Samsonov has 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, he gives up a goal, but he put in the work he with no real time to practice, the travel. So he went out and did his morning skate at 7:30 in the morning the day before in Edmonton, the only time they can get ice before his start. So, again, it's the individual attention to their game and what they have to do and not let the team down, if you will. And I think, Samsonov, that's another win in back-to-back situations, four of them on the season. That's value added.
And, he talked to Dan Duva, Gary Lawless after the game, and he mentioned his relationship with Sean Burke, and he talked about him as a psychologist, is what he called him, just trying to get your mind right and how fun it is working with Sean to just keep him level, right? Because after that game against Utah, you can have your confidence drain a little bit, but he came right back, and he's been solid since.
He really has, and the goaltending coaching is, there's part that's technical, but those are things that are few and far between, right? If you're the goalie coach, Sean Burke, you're going to point a couple things out. If there's tendencies that you see in your goaltenders, they're going to put in the work. Okay, so that's all the given. So you do become more of a relationship / psychologist expert with your goaltending tandem. And, you know, Sean's fantastic at it. He reminds me a little bit of another goalie coach I got to know for a long time, Jimmy Bedard in Detroit. And it was, you know, it was more relationship-based than necessarily, you know, based in or rooted in the technical foundation of the mm-hmm. position.
And we've talked so much about the defending and the goaltending for the Golden Knights, but I want to talk about the offense a little bit, and particularly number 95, Victor Olofsson. Ever since coming back, he has just been one of the key figures in this team offensively.
And even before he went out of the lineup, he made a really good, you know, first impression. The thing that surprises me maybe a little bit about Olofsson is how confident he sounds. Not just his play on the ice, but he sounds, when he's, you know, interviewed, or he's talking to Gary or Dan or any of our crew, he sounds like a guy, oh, yeah, I've scored 20 goals 3 times in this league. That's who I am.
Yeah.
That's who I've always been.
And look at that shot on that one right there, too.
And, you know, Eichel just snickers when he says, oh, yeah, that shot has always been there. So it makes you wonder, why was he a healthy scratch, fourth-line player, not on the power play? And he already has 7 goals this year. He had 7 all of last year for the Sabres. So that's Vegas Golden Knights, once again, seeing a need, knowing more about the player than maybe their existing organization knew about him.
Yeah.
And look at that shot. That is
just sneaking through.
Perfection. The shot is real, but again, I think he's more mature, there's that word mm-hmm. again, in his overall game. He can make plays. He battles more than probably I would have recognized, because you would think a player like that, of that ilk, would have a big role in Buffalo with all the young players coming on board. Not so much. Buffalo's lost our game.
And, you know, I think you look at the growth of Victor Olofsson. I think that we have to give credit to the coaching staff there
a little bit
for Bruce Cassidy and this staff, too, because how many times have we seen players that maybe haven't found the right role, and then they come to Vegas, and we've talked so much about guys growing their game with the Golden Knights, and he's talked about it from some of the new additions as well.
There's the difference in the coaching. I mean, and it's varied throughout the league. Defining the roles.
Mm-hmm.
Why they define the roles very well here, and then they also give opportunity, guy like Keegan Golisar, Brett Howden, guys who, okay, those were your roles. Now there's room for more. Can you fill it? We think you can, and they have. And so if you don't define players' roles in an organization, in a coaching staff, in a locker room, it's really hard to have consistent buy-in. And, you know, they hoped that they saw something in Victor Olofsson that would fit their mold,
mm-hmm.
and it has.
It's been great dividends so far for the Golden Knights. A lot of guys fitting into their specific roles. Another one we'll talk about on the other side of the break that just signed a 3-year extension, and Keegan Kolasar. We sure know what his role is on this Vegas Golden Knights team. But before we head to break, I want to let you know that part of the Foley Entertainment Group, AFC Bournemouth, is climbing the table in the English Premier League, where they take on some of the best football teams in the world. Show your support for the Cherries by catching their matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage or streaming on Peacock. Make sure to also visit the Arsenal at City National Arena to pick up some Bournemouth merch, including jerseys, scarves, and more. To learn more and be a part of the club's exciting new era, make sure to visit afcb.co.uk. Up the Cherries. Back with more in a moment on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. Want to let you know that the holidays are here, VGK fans. Golden Knights are offering 2 special holiday packs that each feature 3 home games and a limited edition VGK-themed nutcracker in a gold or white jersey. Ticket packs start at just $299. Visit the VGK website to buy yours today. Justin Russo and Darren Elliott back with you on Nighttime at Noon. And Darren, you know, we chatted a bit about the 3-game road trip for the Golden Knights in our first segment. But we touched on the extension for Keegan Kolasar that we weren't able to touch on in last week's show because it had a little bit afterwards. But how about your reaction to Keegan Kolasar's 3-year extension with the VGK?
It speaks to one of the things that, you know, in the general media population across the league, VGK, they're always they're so aggressive in going after free agents. Like, well, they don't do rentals. Once they establish and find their guys, they locked them up.
Yeah.
And the guys want to be here. And so going back to what we said, Justin, in you know, the first area is thrown down yesterday against Foligno on the hit on Ivan Barbashev, answering, doing a part of his role. But that's not all he does now. And
yeah.
when he got here, this was, you know, expected of him. Still is, but to a lesser degree. Still physical,
mm-hmm.
but not just a guy that goes out there and bangs bodies. Now he makes plays
mm-hmm.
in the offensive third. And so that's the growth that the organization afforded him, and then he's taken advantage of, and thus the three-year deal. Congratulations to Keegan. And again, the organization, that misnomer that they're just going to chase any free agents, like, it has to fit.
Yeah.
And then once they have the people that they recognize fit their mold, fit their culture, then they'd lock them up.
I think you're seeing that come to fruition, too, now that everyone's back healthy in the lineup, too.
Yeah.
We heard so much over the summer. I mean, and it's expected, right? You lose some of the big names you lost last mm-hmm. year. You bring in the likes of some guys in Olofsson and Holtz that maybe aren't as proven as those players, but they come in, they knew what the fit would be like, and they've just gelled with this team.
Well, they have, and it's not even then. You go back, you know, Noah Hanifin.
Yeah.
Hurdle last year. So those were, I mean, they before the playoffs last year, traded out, but then they signed long-term extensions. Hurdle was already on. But the point being is, like, you know what your roster is going to be because you already identified what you needed, went out and got it, and then you kept it.
And you look at so many of the players recently that have signed those extensions that want to be here with Vegas. They've got it done early, too. Noah
yep.
Hanifin, Shea Theodore, Brad Howden, Keegan Kolesar. These guys want to be here, and they want to lock it down early and just focus on playing the season.
Yeah, and that's a testament to both the players and, again, the organization in terms of the initial identification of what's needed and then the players filling those roles and filling those voids that may have been left.
So for the Golden Knights coming up, with all those players mentioned, coming off the three-game road
yep.
trip, I think they're pretty excited to get back home for some home hockey leading up to the Christmas break. It feels like it's just been go, 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 go for them on the road through November and, of course, in December. But now they get to exhale a little bit until their game Thursday against Vancouver. But finally, a stretch of home hockey here where they can focus on before the break.
Yeah, and they get another break a few days
yep.
before the game on Thursday. So it lessens after a really – like. In retrospect, I mean, they're 9-2-1 in their last 12
yeah.
games. Phenomenal results. But if you would have looked at it at the beginning and tried to look at it as in its entirety, it might have seemed daunting
mm-hmm.
Because that was a rough schedule. And,
yeah.
you know, to come through it like that, you hope you don't exhale too much, but you can exhale a little bit heading into the holidays here.
And it's so impressive, too, because it felt like things compounded a little bit, where not only were they on that long road trip, the longest of the season, but all the injuries seemed to pile up at that time. And as someone who works closely with the Silver Knights, I can tell you that a lot of the injuries started to pile up. We lost a lot of players down there in Henderson, and we saw them up here with Vegas, with Cal Burke, Mason Morelli, Robert Hagg, guys coming up and filling roles. And they got through that stretch now, and it feels like hopefully they're on the other side of the worst of it.
Yeah, all those injuries you talked about, the guys came up and performed admirably.
Mm-hmm.
They happened at the beginning of that stretch in November. But now, the last two games, the roster that was anticipated, the way that Malley talks about it, that was on the whiteboard in the locker room that you had projected, actually got to play. And now you hope that Ivan Barbashev left yesterday's game after being flung to the ice. By Foligno, unceremoniously for sure.
Yeah.
Probably in a dirty fashion.
Which is why we saw the scrap with Kolesar and Foligno.
Exactly. And so you hope that his injury isn't long-term because that's a formidable lineup.
Hope that injury is not long-term indeed, but that line did get a big boost with the re-addition of Mark Stone onto it, and it seems like Mark has just picked up right where he left off, was among the top point scorers on the team, even for as long as he was out, and again, just driving a lot of the offense for the Golden Knights.
Finds a way to make a difference, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Especially, to me, the immediate impact is on the power play. That position to the right of the goaltender on the goal line, he made a beautiful pass to Olofsson on this road trip. The power play has, with everybody in their spots, it's really well thought out,
mm-hmm.
left-handed shots, right-handed shots, on the elbows, all those kinds, the different points of attack that they now have. And that bumper position in today's game that Tomas Hertl fills so well is so vital.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to get passing lanes because the penalty killers sag towards their goal so closely. If you don't have somebody there that is good at the lip of the crease, all the way out to about the hash marks in that space, your power play is going to really struggle. That has always been kind of an open spot, if you will, for the power play. Last year, you had a right-handed shooter in Jonathan Marchessault on the right elbow. Well, that's not, in this day and age, that's not ideal. You need a left-handed shot of an Olsson or a Dorofiev.
And it felt so on the nose when they played Dallas last Friday. We talked about, oh, Mark Stone's going to make this impact, and what does he do? Right to that bumper play with Tomas Hertl, and it worked to perfection.
Exactly, and that's because Mark Stone can take one step out with his long reach and the long stick that he uses. He can be dangerous coming off the goal line. Mm-hmm. So, again, and then, oh, by the way, we haven't even mentioned Jack Eichel.
Right? Yeah. By the way, yeah, we'll talk about Jack. Fastest VGK player to get to 200 points.
And doing it as a facilitator this year. Only one power play goal, and that was just on this road trip. He's a guy that can make plays all over the ice. Defensively, fantastic as well. But this year, really showing the playmakers.
Another guy whose game has just grown with the Golden Knights, that defensive game growing. And, you know, each of the guys on that line, I think they've proven in Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone that individually they can get their own offense going, right? But just to so much together that they can get going.
That's something with the sum greater than the parts or whatever. It's like, you know, for sure, as a trio, they're better than they are individually, if you will. They mesh so well together. Mm-hmm. And not that any of them has changed their games, but you talk to Ivan Barbashev, what has he learned about, you know, playing with Jack Eichel? And he's like, well, he's going to hold on to the puck. I just have to get wherever that open space is. It's going to vary on every rush. I have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And either it'll be a rebound or – so he hasn't changed his game because he's a straight-line player anyway.
Yeah.
Go in on the forecheck, go to the front of the net. It's just, excuse me, playing with Jack Eichel, the puck – more than likely is going to be there in a timely fashion. And Mark Stone was the same way. When I talked to him in training camp, he said, playing with Jack, he says, what you have to do is know that he's going, let him play one-on-one because he will win those matchups with the puck playing one-on-one, and then you read off of that. And so the two wingers saying essentially the same thing, because of Jack Eichel's proficiency with the puck.
Yeah, and we'll hope for good news on the injury front for Ivan Barbashev. We don't have anything official yet, but hopefully he's out or back sooner rather than later. And, you know, that line gelling really well up front, those guys all back together, but a couple of guys on the back end too, in Noah Hanifin and Alex Petrangelo. We, you know, made note of it when Noah Hanifin came here that they have those similar play styles. They're a bit of those hybrid players. They can get at you defensively. They can move the puck up the ice and get you started on that transition offense. But two guys that, you know, we heard Noah Hanifin on the radio pregame yesterday talk about, he and Petro are getting in sync a little bit, and it's starting to come together for them.
And Bruce Cassidy said, well, it should. They're both good hockey players, and they're complete hockey players. So you put them out there in any situation against any opposition's top players or regardless. When you look at him, you know, if you look at Shea Theodore and Petrangelo and Hanifin, the three of them potentially, I said at the start of the year, 50 points each. That would be a lot because not everyone's going to get the power play time to get those kind of numbers. But you're going to be, you could have three guys with over 35 points legitimately from the blue line. And that was, we talked about point of emphasis and being the power play. That was another one. Right. The other thing was, let's get our offense going from the blue line to drive offense. And certainly it has. And on that tandem that you just mentioned, either one. So the reading for them is, who's up the ice? If he's up the ice, I better be back. That's a pretty much all they have to get in sync.
Yeah.
And they have.
And I think it's so great, too, because you have that partner that you can trust where they both know each other's skill set to where even if it looks like a tough play trying to get out of your own zone, you're like, well, he's going to make that play.
Well,
I'll be fine.
We know that Braden McNabb can jump up the ice, but he doesn't do it very often because Shea Theodore, that allows Shea Theodore to do it. Whereas that dynamic pair of Hanifin and Petrangelo, it could be either at any given time and the other one just has to read off that.
I don't think it's any coincidence that guys were talking about all making their Four Nations rosters as well, by the way, and Shea Theodore, Noah Hanifin, and Alex Petrangelo.
None whatsoever. And what a tip of the cap to Alex Petrangelo.
Yeah.
You know, this stage of his career, to still be seen as an elite defenseman to represent your country, that speaks volumes in terms of his game. And as you mentioned, I always say It sounds like a slight, but I mean it as the highest compliment. They're just hockey players. They compete. They play. Yeah. There's offense to their game. There's defense to their game. But they play an honest game, all three of them, in particular, Alex Pietrangelo.
And I think Pietrangelo is one of those guys you always hear, especially in the offseason, oh, Game 7, Stanley Cup Final, who do you want back there? I feel like he's one of those guys there because of the completeness of his game.
How about yesterday?
Yeah.
No time on the clock. Minnesota pushing for the tying goal. It's a 6-on-4, and he slides across off and stacks the pads at the offside post. Slap shot goes in one side, comes out the other side. There are players there. He stacks the pads and then has the presence of mind to push the puck. Not put his hand on it because it could, you know, there could be a problem. With his knuckles,
get it out.
Pushes it behind the net, and you know that's the kind of you can't teach that. That's what you call hockey sense.
Just those instincts.
Yep.
And Ilya Samsonov called him a soccer goalie the way he saved that one yesterday at the end for the Golden Knights. From Hanifin and Pietrangelo, you touched on Shea Theodore a bit. He's got 8 points in the last five, and really he's been strong dating back to the first game on this road trip as well with that interception in the neutral zone and setting up Barbashev for the OT winner in Winnipeg.
Last few weeks, Shea's been dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's skating like that, there's none prettier and maybe none more effective in the league. Again, it's hard to play at that level all the time, but when he's there, it makes his team infinitely better.
So many options, so many weapons on this team, and now the Golden Knights, after the three-game road trip, getting ready for some more Pacific District Division, one or the other, Pacific Division hockey against the Vancouver Canucks coming up on Thursday. We'll break down the next three games coming up for the VGK ahead of the Christmas break on the other side of the break on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Justin Russo, Darren Elliott back with you here on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, and want to let you know that you can watch your Vegas Golden Knights this season with Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or TV to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. And you're going to want to tune in for the upcoming homestand for the Golden Knights starting on Thursday against the Vancouver Canucks. VGK finally back at home for a stretch before they get some days off for the Christmas break. And Darren, another Pacific Division matchup, another good team in the Canucks coming to town.
They've been really good. You think of the record we just talked about with the Vegas Golden Knights, and Canucks have a couple games in hand. They're 8 points, I think, behind us right now. But again, if you take those games in hand and blah, blah, blah. If
hard to add it all up at this point.
The whole point is, even with that run, L.A. has won 7 or 8 in a row. Vancouver's hung in there, and they've got their number one goaltender back. He hasn't looked, Thatcher Demko, he hasn't looked ready yet, but that's to be expected. He missed almost a full year. So they're feeling good about themselves, and they've more than just, quote, unquote, hung in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's going to be a really – another good hockey game is the way I look at it.
And you look at the current Pacific Division standings, of course, the Golden Knights, even with the loss against the Oilers, still sitting pretty at the moment up top with 43 points. The Kings at 39, they're 4 points back. The Oilers at 38, and then the Canucks, as you mentioned, 35 points. So they're still in the mix, hanging around, as you mentioned. The Flames are in that mix as well at 35 points. So Golden Knights want to get as many points as they can, keep Vancouver at bay.
Well, there's Vancouver, and then the rest of the trip, you know, the homestand, you have the Ducks and the Kraken. Mm-hmm. And what are the Kraken? Well, they're a hard out as well. I mean, they're about 500, I think, NHL 500.
15-15-2.
There you go. And then the Ducks, they're at the bottom. But again, it's always been a tough game. You can't overlook them, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They can rise up. They've made some changes. They made a couple big trades. So they're still the most immature, we'll keep with that, team in the division, I think. But you can't overlook them. So, you know, Vancouver's the next game, that's when the focus is, but you can't lose focus on any of them.
Certainly can't lose focus, and we'll see if they can, you know, again, ramp themselves up after a long break. They seem to do it pretty well against Winnipeg, although you could argue it took them a little bit to get into the game. They had to win in come-from-behind fashion, but they did get the win at the end of the day, so we'll see if they can keep up their energy there and take down the Canucks on Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be about that. I mean, again, there's a difference sometimes knowing that you're at home at the holidays, human nature. Remember that?
These guys are human beings. That's right.
So it's like that. That's a, to keep your focus might even be harder than, okay, we're playing Winnipeg in their barn on the road. We better get focused. So that will be a challenge, I think, you know, just in the overall. And it goes by quickly, right? All of a sudden it's three games and a handful of days, and what happened? Or can you find the discipline, which they've been very good at doing, and making sure you're taking each game individually, not as a run?
And the Ducks that you mentioned, too, you think back to last season when they went into Anaheim and the third period that they had where the Ducks came back and won that game. You can't take anyone lightly. No. And again, three Pacific Division teams.
And they handled their business against Anaheim last time like they should. But just because you should doesn't mean it will happen that way. So that's a credit to them from that standpoint. But, again, in terms of the maturity level of the locker room and the organization, Pacific District games mean.
Oh, we did it again. Tally mark number two for Darren Elliott. Oh, boy.
Pacific Division teams. It's a point of emphasis, much more so for the team than me, luckily. And in terms of the divisional games, because it's head-to-head, it's the proverbial four-point game in either direction for both, you know, combatants. But in this instance, you know, you want to make sure that those who are closest to you, Vancouver in this instance, that you put some more distance between them.
And, you know, take us into the mind of a player in this point, right? You've just gotten through a tough stretch through November and December. You have these home games now, and you know that break's coming up. How do you not let that creep into your mind? How do you stay focused for these three?
That's the group. That's the group mentality. Can, you know, the leadership will be there. There's some of it will creep in, right? Especially when you're at home. Mm-hmm. When you're on the road over the hall, it seems easier. Having done that, I always found it easier because you're there to play hockey. When you're at home, you're there to play hockey, and there's lots more that goes with it.
So we'll see if the Golden Knights can get it done. Three games against Pacific Division, District Division foes upcoming. We'll see if we can get strike three later on. You're walking on thin ice here.
I've written it down.
Okay.
I'm going to look down.
We've got it noted. We'll correct it next time. Let's hope. From the Golden Knights to looking at some around-the-league news, one of the things that strikes me is that Alex Ovechkin is back skating with the Capitals. That has been such a fun chase to watch, was a fun chase to watch at the early part of the year before his injury, and now chasing down Wayne Gretzky's 894 again.
Yeah, and it was, you know, on all the streaming services, you saw him receiving pucks from his longtime centerman, Nick Backstrom, who's retired. So maybe not officially, but he's retired. He had 15 goals in 19 games, I believe, mm-hmm. before he got injured. So it was a remarkable start for Alex Ovechkin, and the hockey world will welcome him back because that chase is so significant. It's something that, you know, if you watch Gretzky play, you're like, that record will never be touched. Well, it's going to be touched.
It's one of those that, it's just incredible to watch. 868 goals for Alexander Ovechkin. We don't know when he's officially going to be back,
right.
So it's tough to tell, but, I mean, do you think he gets there this year? Does it happen this year?
I didn't think so. And then he had the start he had. Then he gets injured, so I'm back to – I don't think so necessarily because it's a little bit more difficult in the second half to score, except Alex Ovechkin had a really slow first half last year and then tore it up in the second half. So I guess the route is – and the message is don't bet against grade eight.
I wouldn't. And – especially when you look at the way the Capitals have been playing. They have been a surprise this season. They're one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference.
Again, they've done a really good job of kind of upping their game defensively. They did it last, Spencer Carberry, their head coach, they did it last year. They made the playoffs with a ridiculous minus 32 goals, four goals against number. But what they did last year, then they added some pieces. It's taken more root this season.
Yeah,
they are really good defensively, and quite frankly, they've done it without. They've continued to win and be successful without Alex Ovechkin, and even when he's in the lineup, he's okay with it. He doesn't play in every situation like you would think, and nor should he really at this stage of his career. But when there's a scoring opportunity, like an empty net, he's on the ice.
Got to make sure you feed him the puck in those situations.
Yeah, but he's not killing penalties. He's not double shifting, nothing like that.
So for the Capitals, I said one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They are right now the top team in the Eastern Conference with 44 points, one ahead of the Devils, who have played four more games than they have. So, yeah. Capitals at a plus 38 goal differential as well, much different than we saw last season, night and day.
Night and day. And again, we've seen it against the Golden Knights. The Caps are formidable in terms of how difficult they are to play against.
And it's been impressive to watch, and we'll see if he does get there. And I think one of the things that struck me last season, too, was when he had that slow start, you start to think in your mind, you're like, man, I want him to get this, but how long is this going to take? I don't want him to go out like this, if you will, for a guy that great. And then, of course, he reminds us all of who he is. He turns it right on.
Yeah, and, you know, I saw him break into the league. I was in the old Southeast division, the Southeast, when you had them kind of rebuilding. I was with the Thrashers. So we got to see them a lot, got to see them grow. He was such a dominant force physically. He would just as soon run you over. He might have 10 shots on goal and 10 hits.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that anymore, but he's really tough to move off the spot still. You can't physically overwhelm him, so he's going to get his looks. And that's the other thing. He's not just – everyone's like, oh, his offense on the power play, the left elbow they call it now, the left face-off dot has a right-handed shot.
Ovi spot.
Right, Ovi spot, his office.
Yeah.
He scored, you know, almost 300 power play goals. That's all – but he scores in many, many different ways and has continued to add that to his game. Like all greats, they continue to add to their game.
So taking a look at some other things around the league, we've had some early trades as teams look to improve themselves. The big one coming with the Colorado Avalanche. Alexander Georgiev going to the Sharks. Mackenzie Blackwood to the Colorado Avalanche. We've made a lot of noise about the fact that the Avalanche have not had the goaltending that they've liked at the early part of the season, even as what we'll get to in a little bit too, Nathan MacKinnon leading the NHL with 50 points right now. They've tried to shore up that goaltending. What do you think about that move for them?
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, he was one of the goaltenders that was on a lot of people's radar.
Yeah.
The underlying numbers, he's a big body, not playing for a good team at the time. But his play itself, if you isolate it from the results, seemed to be a really good candidate. I think it's a brilliant move for the Avs. Georgiev had been there several seasons, and it hadn't ever gotten to a point of certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make the move. And Mackenzie Blackwood is a better option than anybody they've had in the last several years, in my opinion.
And as the Avalanche get better, that just continues to solidify the top teams in the Western Conference in a lot of them that we saw this road trip between Vegas, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Minnesota, the Avalanche, and could even throw in Vancouver in there as well. Dallas, of course, forgot about them. This is as strong as the West it feels like it's ever been.
Yeah, it's strong. And when you go, who are the easy touches? We just talked about, we thought it was going to be Calgary. Well,
not so fast.
That's four games above 500. Even though they have a minus goal differential, they're finding ways to get points so far in the schedule. Seattle, 500 NHL, so you don't know what you're going to get other than a tough game. So, yeah, there aren't many soft touches.
No.
In the West.
And it feels like everyone's within reach of the playoffs, even some of the teams down there in the Central, because you look at Nashville's been a bad surprise, and that has been, but you think if the names can come together and the Marchessos and the Stamkoses, if they can pull it together, maybe they can make a run. But boy, one of the soft touches that you mentioned in the West are overall Nashville 8-17-6 right now.
Yikes. Yeah, there's not much. That's a tough one to come back from.
Yeah.
In terms of, never mind what their aspirations truly were, just getting into the playoffs is going to be really difficult for the Predators. We were talking about the West, but in soft touches, but in the East, it's kind of that same mushy middle that it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo looks good at times. Oh, now they've lost 10 in a row. 0-7-3. Talk about mature versus immature. I watched them. Detroit's kind of the same way. I watched them play. It's like, what are they doing defensively?
Yeah.
The defense details, and you'll hear Bruce Cassidy, he's so good at explaining what that means for the Vegas Golden Knights. But it means it for everyone. All the good teams that Justin talked about, Dallas, dialed in defensively. LA Kings, we didn't even talk about them.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's overlooking them. And like I said, I think they've won 8 of their last 9. So they've hung right in there as the Golden Knights have gone 9-2-1. So those are good defensive teams, and everything kind of goes from there in the game of hockey. Transition, all those kinds of offensive turnovers, defending, keeping people out of the middle. So your goaltenders, it's not so much that that's the dangerous scoring area. It's that it's consistent. Your goalies know most likely where the shot's going to come from.
Yep.
That's the difference. And when goaltenders are having to guess, you're not supposed to guess as a goaltender. If you're left to guess because your team in front of you is different in any situation, it leads to inconsistency. So I see Buffalo, I see Detroit, Chicago's a little bit like that in the West. Ottawa seems to be getting better because their goaltender, Omark, is
on a heater.
He's on a heater, and that's what they got him for, and that's what they expected, and it's starting to show as they are finally moving a little bit up in the standings.
Yeah, meanwhile, I mean, the Pacific looks like another one of those years where if you're the Golden Knights, you could go on a 7-game win streak and then look down and say, oh, we're still only 3 points ahead of whoever's next. It's just one of those seasons where you're going to be tight down the wire.
Yep.
And likewise, in the East, in that middle, everything seems like it's going to be tight because now you have a mix of teams that you mentioned that we've expected over the past couple years in the Buffaloes, the Detroits, the Ottawas, but now you have some of these older teams that are falling by the wayside, Islanders and the Penguins both down there, and more recently, the Rangers. They have fallen off a bit.
Yeah, and I've been a Ranger backer from afar. I really liked their team over the last several seasons. This year, something's truly different. I mean, you trade your captain. You know, Jacob Trouba gets traded to the Anaheim Ducks before Cam Fowler then is traded out. So that's a money thing.
Yeah.
He won a veteran on the blue line. They went and got Trouba. They traded out Fowler to St. Louis. But the Islanders, same old, right?
Yeah.
They can't score. But they're just getting older, and it's hard to just try to, you know, win every game 2-1, base it on your goaltender. The Rangers, it seems more internal. There's, again, not being there, I'm not really sure, but they were a team that was right there, and now they're not. They signed their goaltender to get the contract out of the way, and still – there seems to be some doubt, some reservations emanating from that locker room. They don't play defensively nearly as detailed or structured as some of the top teams we've already referenced.
And that's why even if you sign your goaltender to that contract, you need some of the play in front of him. It needs to be a team game at the end of the day.
It is. And again, you don't want to overcomplicate it, but it's like if the puck is here, this is what you're supposed to do. If they get an odd man break, this is what they will, what your teammates in front of you will most likely do. So as a goaltender, you then know that this is what I should be looking for. If that changes play to play in that same kind of situation, very difficult to be consistent. And the other thing about the Rangers, they're not hard to play against. Like that's the other thing that is overlooked a lot of times by the teams we just talked about. Dallas is big. LA is big. Golden Knights are big.
Oh, yeah.
And the quote-unquote heavy. Today's game about being tough, it's holding onto the puck in the offensive zone. It's not letting anyone win a short race in the defensive zone. That's toughness in today's game. That's playing heavy. Rangers, they're a little bit light in their skates.
That's why I think we made so much of this road trip, too, not only because of where the teams are in the standings for the Golden Knights, but because of how they play and the similarity to the Golden Knights, where it's going to be a tough game against a Winnipeg or a Minnesota, and even Edmonton with the top flight scoring, they still have a little bit to that their game, too.
Well, Edmonton has really gotten better at defending. It's similar to when I saw Toronto for the first time. I was like, they have changed their game. They are now much more responsible and heavier and mostly in boxing out. Not letting rebounds, second opportunities happen. Again, part of that is where the shots are being allowed to come from, outside, more predictable for the goaltender, but the guys on the interior playing a much stronger game. Edmonton showed me that over this last weekend.
Nothing easy for the Golden Knights, basically, is what you're saying this season. So the Golden Knights are going to look for some more points this weekend, or this weekend, upcoming weekend at home, as they have a 3-game homestand. See if they can start that off well with a couple against Vancouver on Thursday. We'll be back with more after the break on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. Are you in need of some VGK gear where you can make sure to keep your closet ready to go for the next VGK game by visiting the Arsenal at City National Arena or VegasTeamStore.com for all the VGK gear? Check out at VGK Gear on Instagram and X for all the latest updates and deals on all Golden Knights. Rep your team with pride. Justin Russo, Darren Elliott back here. And Darren, we've talked a lot of Golden Knights, we've talked a lot around the league, and you know, we touched on a bit the Four Nations face-off and how it's fun for those guys to represent their countries. But there's also a member of the Golden Knights organization in terms of the junior championships, Matthew Cataford, making Team Canada.
Yeah, that's just a great milestone for a young player to make that tournament. The World Juniors has long been, certainly in Canada, a tradition around the holidays. It starts on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas. And Cataford, you know, he's a third-round pick from 2023, I believe. Good offensive centerman, having another big year. He played 3 years with Halifax. A couple years ago, they lost in the league championship to the Quebec Major Junior League. This year, he's leading his team. He's playing for Rimouski, the Oceanic. 37 points or 38 points, I believe, in 27 games. He's that kind of centerman in terms of just basing it on his numbers.
Yeah.
Where he's 40 goals, 50 assists. So he's a scorer, but he distributes as well. Mm-hmm. Same thing this year. He's got 11 goals and 27 assists. His team's first in the East. So he's been a prolific scorer. But again, that type of player that you draft, this organization draft, you're responsible. You prove that you can play both ends of the rink. And less, obviously, in junior. There's things to learn as you become a
pro. We'll take the 100 points as they come. That's fine.
But congratulations to Matthew getting named to Team Canada. That's a big honor.
We had a chance to see him in Henderson toward the back of last season. Skill was noticeable on the ice, even
I believe.
So it was great to see him there. Obviously, that was just a short stint, get him a taste of the AHL before he went back to juniors. But you know, fun to see him there and fun to see him compete. And, you know, for the World Juniors, that's something I think we can always look forward to in terms of the international competition. That's what I think has led to some of this hunger for the professional level, for these guys to get back in at the NHL with the Four Nations and hopefully the Olympics coming up soon.
Yeah, that's the plan from the NHL standpoint. In its stead, the World Junior Championship has long been a tradition.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, it's a ritual, if you will, in Canada. I'm not sure, it's one of those things that was there. Even back when I played, we didn't even know about it. It wasn't a thing, right? Especially if you're a Canadian playing college hockey, they wouldn't even really take a look at you in terms of availability. But over time, and this is where the media, on a positive, TSN in Canada, their ESPN, if you will, in Canada, made it that. They gave it wall-to-wall coverage. They propped it up, and then the competition itself has sustained it, and it's great stuff to see these young players who are really all top picks of the NHL. They get to play against their peer group at the highest level.
And it's just a measuring stick for a lot of these guys again, and I think that's what a lot of the scouts and a lot of the teams look to too, because you don't always get that competition between some of these top guys. Given some of them are in leagues in Europe, and some are in Canada. You know, you never know where these guys are at. Now you kind of get to all gather at this one spot and say, okay, what does our guy got?
And it's the best one because, you know, some of them are manufactured, the USHL. All the leagues have those kind of showcase games.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the peer group best on best representing your country, which is already a big honor. So there's more at stake, if you will. So to see the best players come together, play against their peer group, and see who is the best in that situation is a really good gauge for the organizations at the NHL level.
And now with that international play coming back at the professional level, I think it gives a good taste for them for something to work toward in their professional careers, right? You know, we heard from Noah Hanifin talk about how, well, he put on that Team USA jersey when he was young, you represented the country, but it's a whirlwind at sometimes too, right? You're so young, everything's new to you, and now coming back around for the second time as a pro, you can really appreciate putting on that jersey again.
Yeah, sometimes when, you know, at the youth level, it can just be another tournament team, right?
Yeah.
It's a good, big tournament, but this is the biggest, because now you're in the pros, and now it's an NHL event, which, you know, by and large, other than a few guys, around the globe are in the NHL, so it is best on best.
So from the World Juniors and international talk, we'll wrap things up one more time with VGK talk and, again, take another look at the three-game homestand coming up for the Golden Knights. It begins on Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Fortress against the Vancouver Canucks. And you know, Darren, you were talking a little bit about Thatcher Demko and him trying to get his game back a bit. Even though Vancouver's one of the top teams, one of their top players isn't quite where we've expected him to be yet.
No, not yet. Hope to see him because I like watching him play, fan standpoint only. But again, you know, they've hung in there. Like, Vancouver's an interesting team because low shot volume.
Yeah.
They just grind it out. Rick Tocchet's their head coach. They have offensive players, you know, Quinn Hughes on the blue line, and you would think that the dynamics, Brock Besser, you think the dynamics would be there where the bent would be offense leads. They're not offensively challenged. They really kind of try to smother and win every game 2-1.
Golden Knights hoping to give some VGK fans some early Christmas gifts with this road trip. I imagine you've got to be looking forward to the break, too. 3 days off as a broadcaster, you've got a busy schedule as well.
Absolutely. I'm taking care of district business at the youth level, not divisional business like the team has slated ahead of them.
One or the other.
But, it's a fun time of year. You know, family coming to town.
Yeah.
Everybody has those kinds of different things, parties to go to, and games to go to. So it works out perfectly. As long as I'm at the rink, I'm happy.
And I think you bring up a good point. We talked about the Golden Knights, that little exhale they can do. Let's not exhale too much, though, because the 27th will be their next game after that break in San Jose. Another team that, you know, soft touch, if you will, but that's a team that I think after last year you would have expected to come in and say, okay, maybe it's going to take another year for them. And even though they're not up in the standings, they're not necessarily a contender. That's one of those teams that you turn them on, and that's a fun team to watch with some of the young players.
It is, and we didn't get to see Calabrini in the first meeting. He was injured, but he's playing some good hockey. The first overall pick that they're basing a lot of their rebuild around. We just hope that Georgiev plays goal, because he's always struggled against Golden Knights. That would be a Christmas gift right there.
One of those guys that, just hasn't found the success. And like, you know, we talked about when they played Winnipeg, too, for whatever reason, that seems to be – that favors the Golden Knights, and it has historically.
It really has. And, you know, Connor Hellebuck played brilliantly. That was an outstanding hockey game played by the Vegas Golden Knights. That was maybe as close to a complete game as we've seen all season long, and there's been lots of them, but that certainly was one of them.
Golden Knights continuing to build their game, continuing to stack up points. Top team in the Pacific Division right now as we stand here on this Monday afternoon. 3-game homestand coming up against Vancouver, Seattle, and Anaheim. Should be fun upcoming. And again, it starts Thursday at the Fortress. Darren, thanks for joining today. It was a fun show.
It was lots of fun. Lots of talking hockey. Doesn't get any better than that.
Not hard to talk hockey with Darren Elliott ever. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday afternoon here on Nighttime at Noon. For Darren Elliott, for Lexi and Ron Paul behind the camera, thank you so much for listening. Justin Russo signing off on this Monday afternoon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.